Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, bringing you the fastest 3 hours in Houston sports radio, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, big town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank, I'm Branham, it's Brian behind the glass. Thursday edition of The Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Busy show on this Thursday. Daryl the Moose Johnston will be joining us here in a little bit. A lot of Astro stuff to get to, a lot of Texan stuff to get to. Rockets start basketball tomorrow. Jabari Smith expected to play tomorrow. Fred VanVleet is still day-to-day. So, take that for what it's worth. Okay, Vince Scully.
Yep.
I love that line, though. Yep. It's a great line. Aren't we all? I feel a little day-to-day today.
I kind of do, too.
You're banged up?
Yeah, just...
strong.
I don't know if it's allergies or something that kicked in right around lunchtime and... just a little bit annoying. Just kind of just not a lot of energy. I tried to make coffee. The coffee maker's on the fritz.
Yeah, I'm a little grumpy myself, too. You might get the angry bees today, it sounds like. Brian, you ready for the angry bees?
That's different from what usual show.
I was happy yesterday.
Yeah. You're kind of like the Chuck Norris t-shirt where it shows all the different emotions but the same expression.
Like Phil Maton.
Yeah, there's not a lot of difference between angry and happy Jeremy.
My hip's been bothering me. I feel like an old.
What are you, 95 years old?
That bus ride the other day, I woke up yesterday morning with throbbing pain in my right hip, and it has not went away.
Just from sleeping funny on it?
I think I was just sitting on it. Sitting, it's like I sat funny, I think.
It's a Saturday Night Live sketch, and I'm 50.
Yeah.
Where she does the kicks.
I saw a little bit of
that
yesterday. That.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like to stretch. They had Emma Stone
and
up with
kick.
Her.
Yeah.
Did you watch the 50th
bits
anniversary?
There's some good stuff. Yeah, bits and pieces. Some of the skits were really funny.
We DVR'd it, and we started to watch a little bit of it last night, but I ended up falling asleep. But we saw that one. Emma Stone was up there doing the, I like to stretch and I'm 50. I like sports. I don't know. I don't know. Can you stretch it out for me, Blankers? You know all those athletic stretches.
Can you stretch me out? I'd have to ask.
Well, Joel needs his quad stretch. Maybe you guys
I've been doing it
stretch.
On my own, Brian. I'm fully capable.
I'll stretch your leg if you stretch my hip.
Yeah, I'm good. But I can try and figure out which
stretches
you need to do for
stretch your
hip.
Quad.
Yeah.
Quid pro quo.
Maybe you get the angry beast. We'll see what happens. You never know with us. It could be anger. It could be happiness. You never know
you
the emotions you might
segment.
Get with the killer bees. Brian wanted to talk about our days being numbered. What's this?
They are. I mean, have you not seen the news?
We're all getting a day older. Today's the youngest we'll ever be.
The phrasing is I don't think correct, but I know what you're trying to say. But the news of this asteroid, because I mean, you always hear every couple of years like, oh, there's an asteroid that's going to come within like 4 million light years, and it's the closest pass by and since however. But now this asteroid that's supposed to hit or come by close by at least in 2032. Like at one point, just a day ago, its odds were to make impact, and they're calling it like a city killer, were up over 3%, which is higher than a 16 seed has gotten. Like some of the 16 seeds that actually have beat the one seed, their odds like before those games were like 2.5, 2.7. This asteroid's got a better chance than UMBC. So obviously there's a lot of time between now and 2032, but it's interesting.
So what about the 15 beating a 2? Is this somewhere? This is like somewhere between a 15
yeah,
and a 16.
Yeah, I didn't look up the odds on a 15 beating a 2, but and thankfully, and again, 7 years. So, but thankfully, the odds of this asteroid hitting us have since been decreased a little bit. I believe it's now down around about 1%. But like a day ago, it was up over 3. So look out.
What we need is one of these. We need Elon to send one of these SpaceX rockets up into the outer space.
I mean,
and take
to say,
a charge.
I saw a documentary with Bruce Willis about this exact situation.
This was a documentary or a movie?
It's a joke. You don't remember the movie?
It's
Deep Impact.
No, not Deep Impact.
It's like
You'll
one word.
Huh?
Isn't it like one word?
You know, I'm just going to look it up. Yeah, I don't even actually remember the name of the movie. But Bruce Willis, Aerosmith did the
did the
soundtrack with Liv Tyler. Was the love interest, I think, of Bruce Willis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, remember, the whole premise of the movie was they had to take a rocket ship up there and blow up an asteroid to save Earth.
Shouldn't we have the technology by 2032 to send something up there and derail this thing?
I would think so, right? Send it off its course
that has a 16
Armageddon was the name of the
chance
movie.
Of beating
there
a one
Armageddon.
Of hitting the Earth. Like, we don't have this technology?
Yeah, you think we'd have some sort of laser or missile laser. Or something that we could
hit them with the laser?
Thank you, Dr. Evil. But yeah, they're saying that this thing is not big enough to end like all life on Earth, but whatever city it hit in, it would completely destroy the city. And if it lands in the water, it would cause tsunamis the likes which we've never seen.
So you want to go somewhere in the middle of the country if it doesn't hit?
Yeah,
your city.
I was looking at the path because I got really deep into this. But I was looking at the path,
kinda probably.
But it looks like their projected path is like right along the equator of where this could possibly hit. So I think we're okay.
This is how you spend your time.
A part of my time. Part of the time I watched The Bear this morning. Part of the time I was working on the show. Part of the time I was looking up asteroid stuff.
Space trips me out.
Yeah.
You start to think about it. I like to have a little bit of something to drink maybe before I think
something
about this
stuff. Something to vibe it. Yeah, something to vibe with.
Space is crazy. Like, have you seen – I listen to some Rogan at times. Have you seen like some of these stars and the size that they are?
Oh, it's
like 100 times bigger than the sun.
Yeah, you can't comprehend.
Yeah, it's incredible.
It is crazy.
And then, like, what is this new telescope? There's a new telescope. I remember everything in broad terms, not specifics. But there's a new telescope that's, like, the strongest telescope ever, and they have it somewhere up high. And they actually, like, tweet out pictures and stuff. And, like, they're seeing things that they've never seen before, and, like, they're kind of changing the definition of what black holes are and stuff like this.
Huh.
It's, like, okay, not to go too deep, but we know that math is infinite, right?
Yes. So is the universe.
So is the universe. And yeah. We haven't even, like, we probably haven't even scratched the surface.
Like, we know of a few other, is galaxy the right word?
Probably.
I think galaxy is the right word. Yeah. We know of a few other galaxies, and we presume, obviously, it has tons of planets around it. But, like, I mean, you could go way, like you said, math is infinite, space is infinite. Who knows how many millions of universes there are throughout, you know, all space and time.
Yeah, it's kind of trippy. It's crazy. We all had a good run, says a texter. Every anime I've ever watched has let me know one thing. The Earth is vulnerable to all meteors, short of an overpowered main character.
And it probably is what killed the dinosaurs.
I'm not an anime guy.
I'm not either.
Chewie is, right?
He is, yeah. He likes that. There's some theories out there. I was listening to some of this stuff over the weekend, too, as I was spending my time in Sedona. There's a heavy theory, not even conspiracy, like a theory between like scientists and paleontologists and stuff that birds are dinosaurs.
Yeah, you knew
that? I just learned that this week.
Yeah, birds are dinosaurs. So, I mean, basically, alligators are dinosaurs
like
too.
These paleontologists have discovered a lot of these rocks have the feather in the rock, so it leads them to believe, and they have a pretty good idea that a lot of the dinosaurs had feathers.
Huh.
Yeah.
What was the pterodactyl? Was the one that flew?
No idea.
Pterodactyl flew.
Yeah.
That wasn't the only one that flew, but pterodactyl's one of them.
Pat 409, 2032 is no different than 2018. 7 years is nothing. We won't be that more advanced. James Webb Telescope. That's what it's called. James Webb Telescope is awesome. Yeah, you can see some pictures.
Yeah, I'll have to go on a deep dive on that.
We do have the technology, and we've successfully tested it, says Texter. There you go.
What,
don't
to blow
about
up an
meteors.
Asteroid?
The meteors, apparently.
Yeah. Okay, we'll see.
This guy says, this texture says, we've bumped an asteroid, put off its orbit.
Interesting.
That's what we do in the Earth.
All the technology they have to take things out of the air anyway, as it starts approaching and gets closer into the atmosphere, they should be able to take it out.
Yeah, it's just I know they, in theory, it's possible because they can track where this thing might land, which is 7 years in advance, and we're rapidly spinning and while the asteroid is plummeting at, you know, mile per hour that we can't comprehend. But if they're able to kind of track when and where it would land, you would think it would be able to track a path to where they could throw something in its way.
And you could get, like, you could clear out the area, I think.
Yeah, if you knew, if a year out, you know, okay, the odds are like 75% now, then that city gets evacuated.
Yeah, it's evacuate. You know, we'll do the, what do they call it, the whenever you had the highways go both ways?
Oh, yeah, I did that for Rita.
Yeah, I forget the word for
that. Oh, that was awful.
Who's the Virgin Island guy that sends people into space? Isn't it Richard? It's Richard Branson?
It's King Richard Branson.
Yeah, Richard Branson. Yeah. I think the guy that founded Virgin Airlines or whatever.
Because they made him a king. Someone anointed him and made him a king. Isn't it king?
Or is it Lord?
That sounds right. I don't know for sure. That sounds right.
Maybe it's sir.
Remember, like, Nick Faldo's a sir.
Yes, he is.
Yeah. Sir Nick Faldo.
Maybe he was knighted. So was Elton Maybe John. Was sir.
Why doesn't this guy just go up to space, take his little rocket, and step in the way of the meteor?
He's got nothing to live for.
I trust him to do it. I don't trust the people of the Titanic. Remember the Titanic adventurers?
No, we can't have them. We can't have them do it. What about,
PS2 controllers riding down to the bottom of the ocean?
I mean, we know Elon's sending rockets up into space. Doesn't he have a rocket that can knock this thing off?
He's pretty smart. I'll take the under on the meteorite hitting Earth. Contraflow. I wanted to say contraband, but I knew that wasn't it.
Yeah, contraband is sneaking legal stuff in.
Yeah, that's why I knew that wasn't it. That's why I bit my tongue. But contraflow. Contraflow is what it is. Yeah, we can contraflow out of those. Texture, has anyone been to Sedona before? Yeah, I have. Jurassic Park talks about birds being dinosaurs. I don't think I've ever watched Jurassic Park from start to finish. Have you?
No, I have not. I was not interested, and I'm not a big Jeff Goldblum fan.
What's wrong with Jeff?
Really? You don't like Jeff Goldblum?
He annoys me. I saw
the fly. National treasure.
I saw the fly back in the day. He's annoying. Even on those commercials apartment.
Don't hold the fly against him.
He's still annoying. He's just annoying.
On this topic, I always think of the end of Men in Black. And then here's the question, though. If you knew this thing is coming, you don't contraflow yourself out of the way, how are you spending your last week on the earth?
Probably first and foremost, a lot of time with my family.
Don't say family. That's the cop out.
I'm going to spend it working my days away. I'm going to spend it with you guys because I love y'all. I really appreciate
don't
my
say
time
family.
With
you
guys.
Are you going to abandon them?
Hell yeah. I want to die at the poker table.
Oh,
if I'm in the path of this thing.
I'm going to go out working.
Yeah, I want to die at the poker table.
I want to have the headphone on whenever I pass.
I want to be chasing an open-ended straight on the river.
Might be golfing.
Right as it hits.
I want to be entertaining the dozens and dozens of Killer Bee fans.
Of the people that are trying to contraflow out of here?
Yeah.
On their way out?
Yeah, they need something to listen to as they contraflow.
So you're the guy on the Titanic playing the violin as everyone's jumping off?
That's right.
Okay.
I'm going to spend my dying breath entertaining the masses. Mass is too strong of a word. The dozens and dozens.
I'm a dog!
Yeah. Yeah, that's what I would do. If I knew that I had a week left on the earth, I don't want to change things up too much.
You would still come into work?
Yeah, I'd probably work from home.
That doesn't make it better.
No.
Wait, I would not being work. At the poker table, what does that do? Like, you're chasing a river.
Yeah, what if you hit it big? You make all this money for what?
Yeah. It's for me.
Who cares if you hit it?
I don't care. I'm going all in every hit. It doesn't matter.
You're
going
to bust in the first 30 minutes that you sit down because you're going to have zero.
I'll pull out the family heirlooms, try to buy my way back in. It doesn't matter. It's all going to end in a second.
If we had this running clock of when the earth ends.
Yes.
No one's at the poker table.
No.
No one's at the poker table.
I don't know if no one is.
No one.
I think Phil Hellmuth is at the poker table.
No. No, he's griping about the meteor standing on the corner.
Yeah, he would be complaining. You're right about that. Yeah. He would be complaining.
Golf's not a bad idea.
Yeah, I'd be golfing at least.
Oh, Granada would be golfing.
Well, there's no doubt.
Yeah.
And he might be playing poker with you.
That's an interesting question. What would everyone else be doing
Granada
here at 97.5?
Granada would be golfing. Lance would be watching offensive lineman tape from sophomores.
Lance would be
in
learning
college.
How to walk in public spaces in case.
There's not enough time for him to learn that in 7 years.
Paul would be petting his cat. Joe would be talking about Notre Dame football because he put on that Notre Dame t-shirt once upon a time. He was 8 years old, put on the golden t-shirt of Notre Dame, and all of a sudden became a lifelong Notre Dame t-shirt fan. Dell.
Soccer or my University of Miami football?
Dell would be hitting on the 60-year-old that lives upstairs.
Oh, that's right. Yep.
Yeah, he does. He doesn't like him older.
Yeah. Mapes would be playing NCAA football.
100%.
His Rice dynasty.
100%.
Yeah, that's what he'd be doing. All right, 713-780-ESPN. Busy show, Bad Take Boulevard. It is a Thursday. We'll make mock drafts great again. Who has a Super Bowl window in the NFL? When we come back, Darryl Johnston, the Moose, Executive VP of Football Operations for the UFL, three-time Super Bowl champion, joins us next. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay. That's cool.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's the Killer Bees with Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN at 92.5. Being joined now by the Moose, Daryl Johnston, Executive VP of Football Operations for the UFL. Just finished his 24th season on Fox. Too young for 24 seasons on Fox. And, of course, a three-time Super Bowl champion. Daryl, tell us what's new. What's going on with the UFL? Exciting time. Season right around the corner.
Yeah, getting ready to kick things off right here on Friday night, March 28th, with the Houston Roughnecks, St. Louis Battlehawks coming to town. But it's been a really good offseason for us. Last year with the merger, it was literally drinking from the fire hose as you built the airplane while we were flying it. It was crazy. And we finalized the deal on January 12th, so that didn't give us a lot of time to really kind of blend both of the leagues together, really kind of get everybody to know each other. The football component came together a little bit quicker because we had to be there, had to be around each other. But I think when we talk about the success of the league and you start to look at the business side, the marketing component, the season ticket sales and ticket sales in general, I think that this offseason being able to have a traditional cadence to a lot of the things that we were doing and to really get to the point where it was able to be built and put in place the way that our president and CEO, Russ Brandon, would like it to be done. We have a lot of high hopes and a lot of excitement coming into the year on all fronts of the league this year. So we announced our new headquarters in Arlington, Texas. So we've got a place to stay that's official. No more setting up, breaking down, putting in storage, taking out of storage, reset it up. So it's going to be really, really great this year. I really can't wait. Our players are reporting on the 27th. We start everything on the 28th of February up in Arlington. And I can't wait to see their faces because the guys that I know from Legacy USFL in year one and where we were at and what that league was about and what we were asking these guys to do. I mean, we were in a shuttered hotel that was coming out of the pandemic. And I think we were the first clients that we're going to stay in the hotel, probably to see if it was safe enough to stay in the hotel, and to where we are now with this HQ. And you share some of the stories with Russ Brandon, and he says the same thing. So my big thing is going to be standing inside the atrium and just watching the guys come in and just for them to see the look on their face of, wow, this is every year this spring football league gets better and better and better. So excited to get everybody together.
I'm interested to take it to that level because we know now where you've been. And the Roughnecks, the one year, everybody still thinks that they were the champs and they started undefeated and everybody got behind them. And then we've seen some changes throughout the way. And now you're saying, look, what's the goals going forward now? Now we're kind of like leveling off. We're getting more stability. Everything's going that way. But you and I were talking about during the break. It's great when you see some of the progressions, not just the players, but players making the NFL rosters, coaches being called up and getting jobs in the NFL. Do you see that as like one of the next stepping stones? Is that this is not necessarily that it has to be the developmental league like we see in other leagues, but that you see players and coaches kind of making that next step?
It's kind of walking that fine line between being looked at as a developmental league
or
the way that we like to quote ourselves, a standalone professional football league that plays their games in the spring. We get what a lot of the perception from people are going to have about us when we talk about a G League, minor league baseball, developmental component. We get that. But a lot of the guys in our league are continuing to play football just because they love the game. They know that their NFL window is closed. But this gives them an opportunity to maintain that platform. So it's kind of like old school NFL when the guys were playing football in the fall, had their regular jobs in the offseason to supplement that. And then you went to training camp to get back into football shape. You know, we're kind of running that model right now, you know, this many years later. So, and it's not just our players. I mean, one of the great things that happened to us last year, I mean, we're coming together with a merger, as I told you about, you know, last second, things are crazy. We lose the head of our strength and performance to the Tennessee Titans. You know, we lost Bruce Gradkowski this year, the offensive coordinator for the St. Louis Battlehawks, to the Detroit Lions. I mean, we might have a Super Bowl ring next year for crying out loud. So, you know, we've had some success with our people going up. And it's not just our players, not just our coaches. If you talk to Brad Campbell, who does our video, you know, we've got a lot of guys that go up and work for the NFL teams and the video departments as well. So it's our support staff, our training staffs, you know, everybody. And it's just keeping them in that football ecosystem, sharpening the skills, building the network. So it's not just about the players and that developmental component is as much as it is for us to be able to provide this platform for everybody, you know, coaches, players, support staff. So it's awesome. And when we have some success stories like that, it's very fulfilling.
Daryl Johnston joining us, AHRNP guest line, executive VP of football operations for the UFL. What rules or rule do you like better in the UFL that you wish they would implement in the NFL?
4th and 12. You know, right away, if we are going to have the dynamic kickoff and we are going to have the restrictions, you know, on the onside kick, back when I played and you could overload one side and have runners, I think the success rate was 8 to 11%, somewhere in there. It's down to 2-3% now, the way we account for player safety, and you declare it. Everybody knows you're going to do it. You know, the surprise onside is no longer a part of that. So that success rate has dropped. And I get it. I was one of the guys that was, you know, on the hot corner, you know, on the onside kick, and it was not fun. I mean, yeah, I mean, you were getting, there were some big collisions out there. So I get the whole safety component with it. But for us to be able to put, you know, a play into the game, we put the ball at the 28-yard line. It's 4th and 12. If you make it, boom, there you go. And you just continue that drive. With the NFL, you know, really kind of taking the dynamic kickoff now and really, you know, kind of going all in on that, you've kind of eliminated that onside kick. So mm-hmm. Would you do our version of the 4th and 12, maybe do it 4th and 16, 4th and 18? You know, what is your distance going to be that kind of mimics that conversion rate of the old-style onside kick? I love our super challenge that we use where you can challenge any play at any time. And any component of it, you just have to be very specific. And we've seen it used a couple of times in our league last year, you know, very strategically by our coaches. Obviously, with only one being there, you want to hold on to that. End of the game, something happens, you want to be able to throw that. But I did see in a game last season, Memphis use one early in the game that allowed them to convert a first down, and they scored a touchdown on the next play. But now they're done for the rest of the game, so you keep your fingers crossed. So what we've done this year is add a second one. If you do take that first one out and you are successful with it, then we're going to grant you a second opportunity. So later in the game, if there's another play that comes up, I would like to see the NFL take that one and just kind of clean up that whole challenging that challenge flag scenario. And for, you know, and have, you know, Mike Pereira and Dean Blandino working with us in the league and all the experience they have and how quickly they can get through things. It's been awesome. But those are two of the big ones for me. I would love to see them have a little bit more technology on the sideline. The video component that we use was embraced by the NCAA 2 years ago going into the bowl games. Our quarterbacks, I mean, they just feel they're so much further ahead during the prep week because during the course of the game, they watch it. They see it on video, and I can't tell you how many times when I was playing, we would get the stills, and sure. you try to piece the stills together, but you're like, well, where was the safety? He's not in frame anywhere. That's the guy I'm trying to figure out. Where did he come from? How did he disguise that blitz? When you've got that video and you can see the whole thing, our quarterbacks would say, I watch it during the game on Sunday. Then I'm on Monday with the coaches, and we're breaking it down again. So when we get to Tuesday, Wednesday, and we're getting ready for the next opponent, I've got so many things in my head that I remember from the game. And I would love to see the NFL kind of take a look at that. And I think there's a number of different things we do from – you know, just access. And it was hard for me. I'm that old school guy, and I'm a bit of a curmudgeon. And, you know, I refer to them as earned spaces. You know, the locker room, the huddle, there's certain areas where, you know, you should earn the right to be in there. And it's for that select group that's achieved that goal. But when you allow the fans access into those areas and you see the response from them. So that's been a big shift for me is, you know, hey, let's allow everybody to kind of see what it's like in the NFL huddle. Mm-hmm. Let's let everybody kind of eavesdrop on that conversation between the offensive coordinator mm-hmm. and the quarterback, you know, right there on the sideline, to the point where some of our sideline guys will literally ask the coach a question. Well, yeah, but what about on that play right there? You know, it's awesome.
Good thing Belichick's not coaching in the league because he'd be using it against and having some guy watching everything. But I was going to ask you because you know both sides, the NFL as well, but do you take what you've seen from what we've just saw unfold in the NFL and then try and be innovative in how you adapt as a league? Because we know, look, from the calls that were questioned with the roughing penalties to then suddenly the league, without basically telling many people, we're going to go to booth challenges or we're going to go to the booth now to try and get more calls right. Yeah. But it seems like with the backing you guys have with the network, with the cameras, with those things too, that you can kind of take what maybe were shortcomings of the NFL and turn that into an advantage for your league.
Absolutely. We just did our rules meeting with Mike and Dean Tuesday night with all of our staffs. And the big thing that they talked about is, you know, when it comes to an egregious foul or player safety, you know, we are allowed to jump in and make sure that we get that right. We don't want you to have to and go back to last year when you only had one.
Right.
And you're looking at the video board and you're like, oh my God, you know, that why is that? Why do I have to use my challenge on that one?
Right.
And you don't want to use it because you've only got the one. So Mike and Dean, you know, have told all the staffs that, you know, let us get in there and get that cleaned up for you. And there were several clips from last year. Obviously, the biggest one, the Houston Texans game against Kansas City, yeah, with the roughing the passer, where when you go back and look at it from that other angle and it's face mask to the shoulder, but you can't do anything right there. In the UFL, Dean or Mike are going to call down and go, no,
that's great.
That's not a hit to the head. That's a clean hit. So we're going to pick that flag back up. So, yeah, it's not necessarily what happened in the NFL last year. This is the way that we're building our league. Mm-hmm. We want it to be very, very, you know, interactive with Mike and Dean being able to jump in there and get everything corrected. And it's easier for us because, we're going to have four matchups during the course of the week. So we get Dean Blandino and Mike Pereira covering all four of our games, and they're able to jump in real time. We get how hard it is across the NFL landscape when you have that many games on a Sunday and trying to make sure. As a broadcaster, I've been there, and I've wanted to go to Dean Blandino or Mike Pereira back in the studios in L.A., and they're in the middle of another conversation at another game, and I couldn't get any information. So we get the dynamics are a little bit more challenging,
mm-hmm,
just from a broadcast standpoint, not necessarily the league coming in and trying to clean it up. But with Dean and Mike now and only the four games over the course of the weekend, we hopefully won't have that situation where you see a call and then we get a replay that shows that it was a clean hit, mm-hmm, and that Mike and Dean are going to be able to jump in and get that all sorted out.
Daryl Johnston, Executive VP of Football Operations for the UFL, three-time Super Bowl champion. Where did the nickname Moose come from?
From a backup quarterback with us in Dallas, back going all the way back to 1989, so my first year there. So all the running backs at that time were smaller. Even my backup fullback, he was a short, stocky guy, you know, 5'10", 240. I was 6'2", 245. We would go into individual period all the way down at the opposite end of the field. And then we'd have to come all the way back 100 yards to do offensive group with the quarterbacks, wide receivers, and tight ends. And we were always the last group coming back up. And he just flippantly threw out, when you guys are coming up, you look like a moose walking in a field of deer in the running back group. So he started calling me Moose. And then Troy started calling me Moose. And then he referred to it, and Brad Sham, our local radio guy, used it on the radio one time. So then it got big in the Dallas area. So I was slowly losing my name. And then Troy was in a production meeting with John Madden. And, you know, he would do production meetings with John every week. You know, John would always ask for Troy.
Yeah.
And Troy would tell him, he's like, John, we're not doing a whole lot different this week. If you want to talk to somebody else, you can. But he always wanted to talk to Troy. So there was one weekend where he went in the production meeting, and John's like, well, do you got anything new? And he goes, you know, actually we do this week. He goes, we got a really good package in there for Moose. We're gonna turn him loose a little bit on this team and give him a shot to have a nice afternoon. And John's like, who? He goes, oh, I'm sorry. He goes, Daryl. He goes, no, but what did you call him? He goes, Moose. So during the game, John Madden refers to me as Moose, and then that is it.
Takes off.
That
documentary that they did on Madden when he used to talk to Favre the same way,
and
Favre told him the story about Uncle. One of the and we can't say it all on air, but then he made sure to kind of work in that story on the air, and you're like, Madden was a gem.
He was unbelievable.
Oh, man.
He was unbelievable. And there was the guy that he would always reference was a guy that he would see kind of hanging outside the hotel in New York City. He'd stay at the Dakota when he was up that way doing games, and there was a guy that he would bump into, and he may have been a homeless guy, but he would refer to him. Hey, I was talking to, I think it was Fred.
Okay.
I talked to Fred this morning before the game. We were coming over, and it was a guy that he would just kind of stop and chat with and talk to. He's one of a kind.
Yeah,
one
no
of a
doubt. Kind.
He really made football fun and really kind of opened the door for everybody to kind of come in and watch the game and be entertained. And I think that's one of the things that you always have to remember is it's an athletic event and it's very competitive, but it has to be entertaining as well. And there was nobody better than that than John Madden.
I was curious real quick on your thoughts on the home team here, the Texans. I mean, we saw a team that kind of jumped a little bit ahead of the curve in terms of how they turned it around. But now, obviously, people expecting a lot more. The bar's a lot higher.
Mm-hmm.
CJ and now everything's kind of under more scrutiny because of how it ended, the offensive line, everything. But your thoughts a little bit on the Texans?
Yeah, we had them a couple of times last year. Uh-huh. Our group did, yeah, it's hard. I mean, you get years ahead of that curve, and you know you knock it out of the park. You get the offensive player of the year, the defensive player of the year in the same draft, or rookies. And you know, I think you know we all knew that there was going to be success here. You know, when this whole journey started, and then to really kind of exceed that first year and then have them move up another tick. I think a lot of times people forget, you know, how many things had to go right that year to get to that point. And you know, hey, we were – maybe this was our record, but we're really not quite there yet. I thought last season they played well. I really did. There was a lot of adversity. I think that's a big thing when you're in the middle of a turnaround and you're trying to, you know, to get everything kind of focused and heading towards building a championship team, you have to go through that period. So I think that that second year was okay for an organization, you know, to be able to fight through some of the things that they had to fight through. And DeMeco did a great job with everybody. So I really watched that playoff game, you know, and for me it was, you know, Kansas City could have gone down that week. They could have gone down against Buffalo. They finally ran out of gas against Philadelphia. But, you know, they played outstanding mm-hmm. against Kansas City. And that's not an easy thing to do out there. And so, I mean, they were – I mean, you can go back and you can kind of, you know, maybe look at what happened in that game. And that was going to help a lot of the teams out. It was going to help Buffalo. It was going to help Philly, you know, with what they saw Houston do to Kansas City.
We have a lot of Cowboy fans. If so, I don't know what's wrong with them. But I'd be remiss if I didn't ask you what you thought of the Brian Schottenheimer hire.
I like Brian as a guy and as a coach. Marty Schottenheimer is one of my all-time favorite people to ever have had the opportunity to meet. I don't understand the dynamics of the whole situation and how we got to that point. If you wanted to stay status quo, why wouldn't you just keep Coach McCarthy there? So to hire inside and say we wanted to minimize the impact of change it just seems to me like they got caught off guard, and I don't know how you get caught off guard when every coach on the staff has his contract expire. So there's a piece to the puzzle that we don't have yet on the outside that would probably help us go, okay, that makes more sense to me. The one that gets thrown around in Dallas a little bit is because Mike McCarthy's contract has expired. He's not going in to see if he's got another year. He's going in to renegotiate a whole new contract. So does he slide a number across the table and the number is a little bit higher than the organization anticipated, and the organization slides a number back, and it's something that Mike McCarthy is willing to walk away from, and now you are caught kind of off guard and you thought that he would sign that contract and he chose not to. So now you're scrambling a little bit. But I do like what Brian Schottenheimer has done so far with the hires on his staff. It didn't surprise me. And you know, Brian, as an OC in the league, has been a run game coordinator. He understands the importance of the run game. His father knew the importance of the run game, playing defense, playing special teams. It's very kind of old school fundamental football style. So I think in Dallas, you know, we've all gotten to the point, okay, has everybody bitched and complained enough? Can we start to accept the fact that Coach Schottenheimer is going to be here and let's get behind him a little bit? Because I thought when his staff came out, I think that there was kind of a, okay, well, all right, let's give this guy a uh-huh. shot.
And he got some head coaching experience to help him out.
Absolutely.
And he's got some guys behind him.
I mean, DeMeco did the same thing here. Yeah, I mean, it's smart. And the guys that don't do that, it's hard. It really is challenging.
But the question I had, Troy was very critical. You know, we've heard some of the guys come out about Jerry and how it's run now. And I'm just curious, from when you guys were there till now, and obviously Jimmy changed, the culture changed a lot when Jimmy left. But, you know, we've heard Dalton Schultz, when he got here, say that the culture changed so much that there were tours going on while they were lifting weights, and it was more about the overall marketing and everything else than the football. And your thoughts on, like, where they're at with Jerry as GM and owner and everything that he's doing. And, you know, even a Derrick Henry that says that was his first choice destination, and Jerry said it wasn't a fit, and you're like, he was pretty good.
Yeah, yeah. Wasn't a fit how? You're looking at, you know, the Dak Prescott contract, the CeeDee Lamb contract, the Micah Parsons contract. Is it not a fit because it doesn't fit financially in what we want to do? Because I think Derrick Henry, you make it fit. You know, if he wants to come your way, you find a way to make that work. There's truth to what he talks about. the brand, in my opinion, the brand is number one. And nothing comes before the brand. Now they have built that brand into the number one sports franchise in the world, not just in the United States, right, but in the world. It's iconic. It's the most valuable franchise there is. Okay, you've done that. You've achieved that goal. And just think where that goal would be if you were still winning championships. You know, obviously, you know, every 5 years, every 7 years, it's to have something come out and really shock you, which is the closest team having last played in a championship game to Dallas's 30 years are the Chicago Bears at 14, which is staggering. There are data points out there about one of the more iconic franchises in the NFL, if not the most iconic franchise in the NFL, that are just mind-boggling. The Jacksonville Jaguars have been to more championship games in the last 30 years than the Dallas Cowboys have. I mean, they're just you just start pulling them out. Now Detroit. Detroit was one of the ones that you could always say, we won't fall behind the Detroit Lions. Well, now you have. Now you have. So it's tough times right now. And the biggest thing is it's consistency in the NFL. There's such a win now mentality in the NFL that nobody allows that one-off season. I mean, for everybody in Dallas, it was kind of take a step back, and here's why. After 12-5, 12-5, 12-5, and you can talk about what you want about the playoffs, right? Yeah, they got to get better. They got to find a way to win a playoff game. But three consecutive 12-5 seasons, and you have a down year. But Mike McCarthy and his staff didn't lose that team. You know, they kept it together, and guys started to get healthy again. But, I mean, there's no DeMarcus Lawrence. There's no Micah Parsons in the beginning. There's a big, you know, shuffle with the offensive line, injuries with the offensive line. You know, there's a ton of things where you could take a step back and go, yeah, you know, I get why we had a tough year. And then just to pull the plug. And that's what that whole decision that we talked about is kind of, all right, what's that piece of the puzzle that we are missing that we're not truly understanding? Because when you blow the whole thing up, you just reset that clock and you got to go all the way back to square one. And you're trying to minimize that in Dallas right now. But I see it all around the NFL where that desire to be great right away, that doesn't happen. And that's why I was happy to see this franchise after having maybe been way ahead of the curve year one under D'Amico Ryans and take a step back and see the struggles and then find a way to get into the playoffs and then play a pretty darn good playoff game. So, you know, that's just it's not easy to win games in the NFL. That's the one thing that's the hardest to explain to people. And for us, I think a lot of people looked at our Cowboy teams back in the 90s and say everything came easy to you guys. So we were 1-15.
That's right.
I mean, it was horrible. You know, we were 4-22. You know, three quarters of the way through our second season, you know, we found the most amazing ways to lose football games. It was unbelievable. It was to the point where, good, we got this one in the hand. We'd be like, no, you don't. Watch what we do next. So, you know, just for people to understand how challenging it is to play, you know, football at a level that's going to help you earn a victory over 60 minutes is very, very challenging.
Darryl, we appreciate the time. Great to have UFL in Houston, second year post-merger, and very, very good that you're over at TDECU as a Houston Cougar. I'm thrilled about that.
Well, and hey, we are opening the season in Houston, Texas on Friday night, which is great. You know, Fox has done Friday night football in the fall. They did Friday night basketball in the winter. They're going to roll that platform right into to the UFL. So we've got our opening game on Friday night here in Houston. On the 28th, so come on out.
Website and everything, any information for the fans?
UFL.com.
There you go.
Yeah, it's all right there. We just upgraded that. That came out earlier this month. We take steps every year, every season. You know, we isolate a few things that we want to work on. The website was one of the big things that we had a lot of people talk about last year, tough to navigate. The drop-downs and different things like that. Now that's just been relaunched as of, I think it was February 7th, I think, and it's awesome, much more interactive, really great information, and then localized to your team. So great stuff there.
Let's go Roughnecks.
Let's go Roughnecks. And you got Curtis Johnson, one of the really, really good people you'll meet in the world of football too. So your head coach is a hell of a guy.
Yeah, really great product, fun, entertaining, great value. Get out there to TDECU Stadium and watch the Roughnecks in the second year post merger of the UFL. Darryl Johnson, Executive VP of Football Operations, just finished his 24th season on Fox, 3-time Super Bowl champion as well. When we return, who are the teams that have the biggest Super Bowl windows? It is the Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
ESPN 97.5. You're back with the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Great conversation with the Moose, Daryl Johnson. And they gave us some jerseys.
He's really good. I mean, articulate is one thing, but really good guy.
Oh, we could have talked to him for hours.
Yeah. No doubt. Brian, maybe not.
You could talk to us for hours.
We've been a little long.
Yeah, he was interesting.
No, I didn't mind. I would have gladly let you guys finish the hour.
Yeah, the suits upstairs might not.
Probably
have
not.
Yes,
yeah.
The suits upstairs. Hey, we got to stay on the clock as they do their little half Windsor.
As they adjust their half Windsor.
Button up their half Windsor, or not button it up, adjust it. We were teasing the teams of the biggest Super Bowl windows.
Yep.
And he's like, "Well, who are you guys going to say?" I think he wanted to do the segment. Daryl Johnson. He's like, move aside. I'm a pro. I'm a three-time Super Bowl champion.
I've done this for 24 years on Fox, guys. Yeah, Step aside.
Yeah, let the pros handle this, you little jabroni. Why don't you go wait in the hall? I feel like
he patted you on the head.
He didn't say that, but I think he was thinking that.
Good work if you can get it, too. You get the Fox gig during the NFL season. You rotate right into this, and you've got an administrative role.
Double dip.
And now the headquarters is in your backyard.
Not bad. Who did he say was the biggest? He said Buffalo.
Buffalo.
He thought that Buffalo was the biggest Super Bowl window. It's like, Moose, you might be a three-time Super Bowl champion.
He doesn't know a thing or two about Josh Allen.
I was just going to say, I didn't hear Jeremy tell him his Josh Allen thoughts.
I save that for the air. I save conversation for the air. But yeah, he said Buffalo. He thinks Buffalo has the biggest Super Bowl window from this day forward. Like, we're not talking about in the past. Yes, the Chiefs have won three, all of that. But from this moment forward, who has the biggest Super Bowl window? I disagree with the Moose. I don't think Josh Allen's ever going to win a Super Bowl. I think he is a turnover machine whenever it counts. When it counts, I mean, he'll put together MVP regular seasons, although it should have went to Lamar, but when it counts, he's going to melt down. Who do you think has the biggest Super Bowl window, Blankers?
To me, it's hard to say any. When you look at it, you have to start with Kansas City, because I just don't think, as long as you have those two coordinators, depending on how long Andy stays in the game, and you have Patrick Mahomes, I think the window is always open. I think he's proven it with the fact that when he's had a less than group of wide receivers, when he's had a two-headed monster in the backfield, and they weren't really monsters, but they were, you know, kind of brother-in-lawing each other, and their defense with Spagnuolo has been really good in the last couple of years, I don't know that window closes. I think that, yeah, they kind of petered out in the Super Bowl, and that wasn't their best performance, but I think that it's hard to bet against those guys to like, head the list.
Yeah, Kansas City would be it for me just because of where I hold Mahomes in high regard. And look, Philadelphia got to him. The Eagles just killed them in the Super Bowl, but I don't think that's who Kansas City is going to be all the time going forward. Like, Brady had his lunch handed to him a couple of times in the postseason. Never in the Super Bowl quite like that, but in the postseason. I would have Kansas City. I would have Mahomes. Andy Reid, I don't think he's going to be there for 10 more years, but I think he's going to be there for 5 more years. So I can't bet against Pat Mahomes, even though they just got killed in the Super Bowl. What about you, Brian?
Yeah, I would like to say a different team just for the sake of conversation, but as Joel pointed out, as long as you have the offensive and defensive play callers plus Mahomes there, to quote Jim Crane, the window's always open. I think really the conversation starts after them.
Right.
And I don't even know if I would have the Eagles second, and they're top of this list that we're basing it off of from Bucky Brooks. But it feels like the Eagles, in a way, are kind of similar to the Seahawks team that won a title a decade ago, where they won it based upon 11 guys on defense, and those super groups on defense are much harder to keep together for the long run than a team led by a great play caller and a great quarterback. You could keep those two guys together for, you know, the entirety of their career, but defensive guys, depending on 11 guys, like the Legion of Boom did in 2014 or 2013 when they won the title, it's much tougher to keep that super group together. So I would drop the Eagles down a few spots, but Chiefs definitely number one.
He doesn't even call plays. You know, like, I see where you're coming from, but like, he could lose his defensive coordinator.
Right.
Vic Fangio could retire tomorrow, and now you're replacing two coordinators again.
And we saw what happened to them, you know, the last time they went to the Super Bowl and lost, and then lost the coordinators, and it fell apart for them.
Moose, I think I can call him that now, because we know we just talked for 30 minutes. We're on a nickname basis. I call him Moose. He calls me J-Bone whenever we text each other. He was talking about Philadelphia, and he mentioned like how Philadelphia likes to handle their contracts, where they'll go all in, and then they'll take a year off, trying to kind of reset the clock and then build it up again. So he said there's kind of ebbs and flows there. So that might be tough in terms of they're keeping their window wide open if you're doing the ebbs and flows with the whole contract situation.
That's what he said. And he gave Howie Roseman full credit, but he said at the same time, Howie's not afraid to say the window's open, and once we win it, and we start getting big, we can shut it for a year, but we can reopen it because we still keep a lot of guys.
Yeah, like is A.J. Brown next year, back next year? I mean, he's obviously been someone that's been a little talky at times in regards to his contract. Yeah.
But Howie gets credit because if you think about it, at the start of the year, they had guys holding out. They had guys they had to trade. They had some issues. And he just was able to, you know, Reddick was a guy that he dumped out on. But then, you know, he found Baum. He found guys that came in and did their job better than they've ever had. And so he's got a keen eye for talent, which helps them. But I think to Jeremy's point, whether you believe in the Josh Allen side of it or not, it's going to come down to quarterback play. Because with all the teams that we're looking at, because you're right, Brian, it really starts with who's second. Second, it could be Baltimore if they finally get it together and can finish a season because they still have a ton of talent. It could be a team like Green Bay, but the quarterback play is so up in the air with Jordan Love about what you're truly going to get, no matter how good and young you are. They're the youngest, I think the youngest team in the league. But if you don't have good quarterback play, what are you going to be? So it's Josh Allen, it's Lamar, it's teams like the Packers. How long can Goff keep doing it with Detroit? And now they've got coordinator changes, so it's going to be interesting.
Are you putting down Jalen Hurts right now?
No, I'm saying that Jalen Hurts, you got those guys all signed. I mean, I think with Jalen Hurts, with Saquon in a running game, with that offensive line, as long as they keep that together, they're going to be there for the next several years.
Yeah, they're NFL.com had them number one. They had Detroit two, which Detroit's interesting because you just lost both coordinators. Mm-hmm. Like, if they sustain the level of success, and, like, they didn't have great postseason success, but if they sustain the level of success, to me, Dan Campbell goes up an iota of what I think of him as a head coach.
I agree.
Because I think it's going to be tough for them to continue their level of success while the roster is still pretty much the same. You lose what everybody considered the best play caller in the NFL for the last 3 years, and then you also lose the DC. So if they can sustain their level of play, that'll be a job well done by Dan.
And he's got to look at what happened in Philly when they went through the exact same thing because they had it going on and then lost both coordinators. And then Sirianni's butt was on the hot seat real quick because they went way down. And then it was, what are you going to do to fix it? And now, he did what he had to do, but now he's going to have to do it again because he lost his OC, his quarterback coach went with him. So that's going to be interesting, just like Detroit, to where I agree with you. I think Dan Campbell gets a whole lot more credit from me if he can figure this out, losing both coordinators and sustain that kind of winning level. And the roster's good.
Yeah. All right. Where do the Houston Texans come into play for you? How many teams in the NFL would be ahead of the Texans if we're talking about the biggest Super Bowl windows? 713-780-ESPN. It is the Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen, brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.25 billion back to our customer owners over the last 8 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Lowe's knows that more projects mean more tools. For a limited time, new and existing MyLowe's Rewards credit card members can get 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more, in-store and online. Don't wait to get the things you need. Get special financing today. Lowe's. We help. You save. Now through August 27th, choose 12-month special financing on purchases of $299 or more. Offer subject to credit approval and cannot be combined. Minimum monthly payments required. See store or Lowe's.com for details.